It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. We're celebrating 10 seasons of sharing God's Word with you, and this season is our Selah season. This is episode 151, Depression Lessons. But first, because this is our Selah season, we're going to talk about our Selah word for the day, the tip we have to help us all practice pausing and simply being with the God who loves us. So far, we've talked about silence, going slow, solitude, Selah days, sleep, scripture, song, finding a space to meet with God, search, and shepherd. Sharon, what's up next?
Oh, this is so fun. Our word today is sit, Nicole. Mm. Sometimes Bella, our little fluffy dog, dances about waiting for a treat or wanting to go for a walk, and her distracted eagerness prevents me from helping her. Trying to leash that dog at times is ridiculous. She's just bouncing. So I have to say, Bella, sit. Once she's still, I can put the leash on her for the walk or give her the treat the way she ought to take it, gently. Oy. Oh, sometimes we get so frantic with too much to do that we run in crazy circles like Bella. Mm. And we're not accomplishing the thing we want. I mean, so true. I keep saying to her, you're the one that wants the walk.
Right, if you just sit.
Sit.
We could get there.
Oh, my goodness. So when we're running those crazy circles like Bella, sometimes God calls us to sit.
Mm.
I found the best thing to do, actually, when I'm overwhelmed, is to stop for a little bit and sit with the Lord. Boy, is it hard. Just like Bella, I'm frantic, but we catch my breath then together, God and me, and we regroup.
Mm.
So how about you, Nicole?
I think that is absolutely a great idea. I didn't do that for years. I just kept pressing through the chaos with lots of little kids, and it didn't go well.
No.
It never goes well when you press through and you're stressed. But lately, practicing that, it's become almost a constant habit, almost every
Good.
Time now. It's taken some practice, but when I'm overwhelmed, sometimes I'll leave the kitchen with my four girls and the chaos that is happening. I'll go up to my closet because it's quiet and soundproof. I'll close the door. I'll take a deep breath and I'll say, Lord, give me strength. I cannot do this on my own. Give me strength. And I breathe and then I walk out and I'm such a much nicer person when I do that.
Do you know?
It's amazing.
I need this tip. I'm going to be the solo parent for grandchildren for 3 weeks.
Oh, yes.
So the closet.
Because it's soundproof for a moment. I've recorded in there before, but the actual cutting off of the noise, I think it overstimulates my little mother's brain.
Uh-huh.
And just the chaos. I can't even think. So I'm just, stop it, be quiet. Like yelling out orders. And that doesn't help anybody. Stop being angry and yelling as I'm doing. It's huge. And you know what's funny is science backs this.
What?
There are studies that when you pray and stop, you trigger the relaxation response in your body. It lowers our blood pressure. It slows our heart rate. It reduces cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and it releases the feel-good hormones.
All of that.
All of that by stopping to pray and breathe with God for a hot minute. So it works.
That is
by
beautiful.
Golly.
That is beautiful.
Isn't that fun?
I wonder if at the end of the 3 weeks, the grandchildren will be like, yeah, Nina had to go in the closet 3 times today.
Nina was always in the closet. We were there this time. We don't know what she, maybe she had snacks in there.
I love that though. I just, and it's, that's where you can't have a seal a day when you're watching children.
Oh no. Yeah. But those literally 2 minutes sometimes, just stop the noise, mm-hmm. take a breath, and just look back at God instead mm-hmm. of, what do I need to respond to? What are my kids doing? What should I address? What should I correct? I just stop and go, Lord, help me. I want to do this well. I don't want to, you know, yell at them and cause something to, you know, to go wrong. I want to guide them and discipline and lead them. So that's been hugely helpful for this frazzled mama.
Your timing is impeccable.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to practice sit.
Yes.
With or without the closet.
Right. All right. Cover your ears if you need to. I think it was it Billy Graham's mom that had lots of kids and she would throw the apron over her head and pray?
Oh, no, that was Wesley.
Wesley,
Susanna Wesley.
Yes.
She also had many, many
That's
children.
That's who it was. I remember her putting her apron over her head. So anywhere you can, get that sitting with God. It's absolutely worth it.
Well, our psalm today deals with an issue that affects so many humans from time to time. Mm-hmm. And that's when sometimes all you can do is sit because you're depressed, which is a different kind of sitting altogether.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's for a season. Sometimes it's chronic and needs medical intervention and attention. But depression's always hard. Mm-hmm. It's awful. Nicole, have you ever had a season or two of depression?
I have, yeah, and I didn't recognize it immediately in the first one. I had pretty bad postpartum depression after my third child. Mm-hmm. And then after my fourth pregnancy, I had twins and I lost one of them. And I was just very heavy. I didn't even know. I didn't recognize it, I don't think, because you're just surviving with all the children. But looking back at pictures, I'll look at my husband and go, I don't remember any of this. Like, I don't remember. There's like whole seasons where it was just kind of like a blackout in my brain.
Yeah.
And I had a friend gently tell me, like, you were probably depressed. You were probably grieving. And you just couldn't take the time to do it properly. So you were just in survival mode. Yeah. But I just remember it's just a feeling of being incredibly heavy and weighty.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had little moments, a few days here and there. I think seasonal depression takes a hold too, where you just feel so heavy.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't have a direct reason, like something horrible didn't just happen. You just feel like yuck, like you can't get up and get out of your own way.
You're just sitting.
Everything you don't know what to do. Right. You don't know what to do to get out of it. So it doesn't feel very good.
No, it does not
at
all.
How about you?
Well, mine is interesting because mine is related to babies as well.
Yeah.
We had Catherine and we lived at Fort Meade, Maryland. Then we moved to Alabama with her. And when she was 8 months old, I found out I was pregnant with Mary, which was a little bit sooner than, you know, I had expected. Yeah. I had made wonderful friends in Maryland. Mm-hmm. Then we moved. I made wonderful friends in Alabama, but we were only there 3 months and we moved.
Oh, wow.
So we were in a rental house in Massachusetts, but we were going to buy a house like quite a ways away from it.
Okay. So you weren't settling into the community.
Hard to settle in when you know you've got 2 months there and then you're going to be in another house, right?
Right.
So, that heaviness, I so identify. And until then, I never could have. Right. I was always sort of happy by personality.
Right.
But
right.
honestly, trying to do laundry felt too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Even that. I mean, we do laundry all the time. Even that felt too hard.
Yeah.
I could barely get out of my own way. And poor Catherine, my little happy 9 and 10 month old at this point, or 11 month old, you know, I would just sort of sit and watch her. But the interactions, my face, everything. I can remember one day I was at church and there was a lady there with a child with a severe handicap.
Mm.
And Sharon, not depressed, would have gone out of her way to say something.
Yeah.
Sharon, depressed, avoided them.
Mm.
And that really hit me hard because that was mean. That was mean. I didn't do it to be mean.
Right. But it's not in your care. It's not
I had no emotional reserves.
Yeah.
I had nothing to give them.
Right. Right.
I couldn't even barely get to church. So at that point, I realized my depression was pretty bad. But again, the problem with depression is you're too depressed to get out of depression.
And you don't always recognize it or know what's happening because you expect like if a bad thing happens, then yes, I feel yucky. But sometimes you can't fully pinpoint what it is that started this.
Right.
Or it's a kind of a slow fade into like this slump where you're like, I feel awful, but I don't even care that I feel awful.
Right.
I don't really care to fix it. I'm just like stuck.
It's so stuck.
It's just a really hard place to
be in.
It is.
Well, what helped me was Ray. He waited till we were in a car for 2 hours.
Oh.
And then he just started talking to me about how he noticed how unhappy I was. And he made a simple suggestion. He said, I want you to just write down one or two things every day that you need to do.
Oh, that's a good
idea. So I did. I wrote it down. I put it on the fridge and it would be get dressed before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
That was one of my big goals.
Yep.
Right? And then I started adding to my list.
Yes.
And I started doing a little more.
and a little more. And I did, I was able without counseling to move past it.
Right.
And
you
it
were
might
given
also
good
practical
hormonally. Advice.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I probably would have moved out of it faster had I gone to counseling. So, but anyways, depression basically can grip us and it's rough.
Yeah.
You know, I find it fascinating that times of depression are not just common to our lives, right? Mm. Now we think depression is this new thing almost because we're all talking about it and discovering it. It's been happening to humans for thousands of years.
Yeah.
It's not new. We all go through periods of depression, and we're going to hear this from David, the psalmist today. He had some huge highs in his life. He was dancing before the Lord, and his wife was even embarrassed at how crazy excited he was. But he's also had some terrific lows. Mm. And so we're going to look at Psalm 143 and see how he handled his depression, because this is a psalm that deals with depression. Mm. I love that God included it in the Bible.
Yes, isn't that so special?
I know. Yeah.
They're good for all parts of our life, even the yucky parts.
Yes.
So we're going to be reading the Psalms from the New Living Translation today. The word, the New Living uses the word interlude instead of Selah. We, however, will say Selah because that's our favorite word. In this Psalm, there's only one Selah. So we'll read the Psalm in two parts and I'll begin. So Psalm 153, and this is a Psalm of David.
Psalm 143.
Psalm 143.
There
thank you.
There you go, girl.
A Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. My enemy has chased me. He has knocked me to the ground and forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. I'm losing all hope. I am paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. Selah. So this isn't as perky and bright as some of his psalms are, is it?
No.
For sure starts out heavy. The first part is interesting. He says, in the beginning, he says, he has knocked me to the ground. So he's not in a fighting position. He's not like up and ready and taking the hits as they come and kind of like swaying with the troubles. Like, he's flat on the ground.
Yes.
It's not a posture of like, I can take this on. We got this guy. Like, he's on the ground.
he's on a defeated position.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where you have to really, it's a concerted effort to get up to take the next step. And then the next verse enforces me. My enemy has chased me. Knocked me to the ground and forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. Wow. So he feels like death.
Yeah.
He's in a position and a posture of defeat, and he feels like he's in a grave, which is a terrifying imagery.
It is.
Buried alive. That's all I can think of.
Yes.
But that's how he's feeling.
Like unable
he's in a
to
grave.
Get up, basically.
Right. Trapped in this place.
Yeah.
So
we're
finding David in a really rough spot, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then down at verse 5, this is interesting too. He says, I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works. So he's reminiscing on better times when he remembers those highs with God.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's kind of thinking on what he had done and wondering why he's not doing it right now.
That could be.
Or wondering like when he's going to do it, or like, that was a great time, God. How come right now is so awful? Because I know I do that. Like, wait, but why is this awful? You were so good here. Are you still good? You know, so I think David's really questioning. But he ends this section of his lament with, I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. So all of this despair is at least pointing toward God. He knows where to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows
mm-hmm.
that there's something hugely missing in his heart. He's thirsting for God, like dry, parched, dusty land.
Right.
So he's in the right direction in this terribly depressing posture.
He is.
In a grave.
Yes. And he does lift his hands. It says, I lift my hands to you in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like it's an act of the, well, like I said, even doing laundry was hard for me.
Right.
So it's an act of the will to continue to pray.
Right.
When you're in a drought, there has not been rain.
Right.
And if it's a parched land, there hasn't been rain for a while.
Right. It's not your first little like trouble. This has been a long stretch.
Siege.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. I was noticing in verse 4 too. I am losing all hope. I'm paralyzed with fear. And I think depression does. It robs you of hope.
Yeah.
I can remember a friend telling me, I've never been happy and I never will be in the midst of her depression.
That's so sad.
And she sure had been, and she sure was again.
You just kind of forget.
But you lose hope.
Yeah.
You feel like your state at that moment is your state forever. The grave, like you were saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you feel like this is, I think it's almost like being in a deep, dark hole. Like you forget what the sky looked like. You see this little glimpse maybe, but all you see if you spin around is just darkness and no way out.
Right. And then that's when fear comes in. Then you go from that hope. Then you've got your fear because I can't do this.
Right. And you can't try to climb out because there's just no way out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tricky place to be in for sure.
Yeah. Isn't it cool that this psalm is in the Bible?
Yeah.
And people that feel depressed can go, wait a second. King David felt this too?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so neat.
God sees us.
All right. Well, I'm going to pick it up at verse 7. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens.
Oh.
Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. For the glory of your name, O Lord, preserve my life. Because of your faithfulness, bring me out of this distress. In your unfailing love, silence all my enemies and destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Okay, this is what you pray when you're depressed. Here it is.
It's
just right here. This prayer, we could pray it in depression so easily. It's so fascinating. I love the fact that even though he's in drought, even though God hasn't answered, he's still saying, come quickly.
Yeah.
He's still knowing God could do it.
Yep.
That's hard to do.
If
drought could mean a year, right? When the land is parched, there has not been rain for a very long time. Look at him still saying that. Come quickly. Don't turn away or I'll die. And then I love that each morning in verse 8, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. I'm still coming to you. I'm still coming to you. I'm still coming to you. And the other thing that I noticed, and I'm just going to read them, I circled every petition. This part of this psalm is all petition. It's all help, 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 help.
Right.
But there's different ways he says it. So I'm going to just read them. Come quickly. Don't turn away. Let me hear of your unfailing love. Show me. Rescue me. Teach me. Lead me forward. Preserve my life. Silence my enemies. Destroy my foes. There's so much. And you know what? When I'm depressed, I would need this.
Right.
I don't believe I'd be capable of anything of this magnitude. Go, David.
I know. It's kind of what Ray did, like just write down one next thing to do. But David lists some really good things right before God.
Unbelievable.
That's beautiful. I never noticed that.
So many. And then that last little bit, for I am your servant. So he's asking for all this, but he's not demanding it as king.
Right.
Of course, I don't know if he was king when he wrote it. I don't know when this psalm was written, but he's not asking it from a point of authority.
Entitlement, almost.
Right.
Yeah.
He's in the grave.
With no hope.
We've already established this. He's pathetic at the moment. He's pitiful. But he's still saying, I'm your servant, which actually means you're in charge. And all these things I just asked you, even if they don't happen, the last word, I am your servant. And I have to ask myself, if I had a year-long depression, would I still be able to say, gritting my teeth or whatever, I am your servant.
Yeah.
If you leave, I remember when I was going through my insomnia time, I had to come to the point where I said, even if you never give me rest, I choose you.
Yeah.
And that even if is a hard even if, because rest is pretty much essential to life, right? And in this case, with his depression, these are things I want. This is what I need. I'm begging you. I'm going to die. But I'm your servant.
Yes.
I'm your servant. You don't have to do this. You are in charge of me.
That's a hard submission to, it's a hard posture to put ourselves in, because we come to him so desperate with our big requests and our hearts are broken and we're pouring out before him, or we feel no hope. But to end it with, I am your servant, not my will, but yours be done, which is what Jesus said before the cross. And he was also broken before God, asking him, if there's any other way,
please
let me know.
Yes.
This does not sound fun, but yet to model after Jesus and David before Jesus came, you know, I think he gave him that heart to say that I am your servant, whatever you will for me, God, because he knows the big picture. He knows that he's weaving all this together.
Yep.
But it's hard in the moment.
It is.
With the ugly thread he's using that seems coarse and hard. And why would you use this? This is not fun.
No, not at all. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the belief in things that are not yet seen.
Yes.
And this is what faith is saying, I'm your servant. I know you're good, basically. I choose to be under you, even though nothing is good at the moment. So I thought that was awesome. So, let's go to our questions.
All right.
Nicole, what did you learn about dealing with depression wisely from this passage, and how do we apply that?
I think what I learned first from him is he went right to God first.
He did.
As far as we know. I don't know how long he sat in a cave. And
I
don't know. But at least he starts out the psalm right to God.
Yes.
So he went to God. At some point, he went right to God, and he was honest. He was very honest with God. He poured out his heart before him. And it just kind of is reassuring to remember that God is big enough for our hurts. And for, like, when we feel depressed or overwhelmed with big emotions, it feels like you're drowning. It feels huge. Like, who's going to understand this? Who can I share this with that I won't drown with me? Or who can I unburden myself with?
That's a good point.
Because you just, I like to protect the people I love. We all do. And you don't want to just pour your yuck all over them. And so I hold it in. But to know that he's big enough for my hurts, I can safely pour all of my feelings, my anger, my fear, my anxiety, my depression on him. And he can take it.
He can. He can. I love that thought so much, because he really is the only one who can take it all.
Yeah.
Even the kindest friend can only listen so long.
Right. Where it just becomes too much of a burden. So
that's
what I learned from this passage, I think. Bring it to God, be honest, and he can take it. He's got it.
That's right. You don't have to hold back.
No. Yes.
Also, he's got all the time in the world to hear you.
I know. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
He doesn't get sick of hearing about, like, it's the same thing again, God.
And
I'm still stressed about this.
Yeah.
He's so
over
kind.
And over.
Yeah.
Well, I had also tell the truth.
Mm.
I mean, he knows it anyways, but speaking truth helps us.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like God needs to, it's not like it's a surprise.
Right. What? You were feeling upset about this?
Yeah. But speaking it out loud to him helps us see it and acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I feel heavy. I am not happy. All the things. It needs to be said. So you speak the truth and then stay near. And he stayed near in prayer and stay near in the word.
Mm.
You know, he remembered who God was and what he'd done. So past things, all of that.
Yeah.
And then just continue to recite that and do it and be a servant.
Mm.
You know, and then the hardest thing of all, Nicole, I think, is wait.
I know. It's my least favorite part, Sharon.
Yeah. Wait.
I hate waiting.
We are such a generation that doesn't wait.
I know.
Everything's instant. If the computer doesn't immediately, if there's a little circle thingy.
Oh my word. It's the end of the world.
Oh, I know. Even
this is unacceptable.
Even if it's for like 8 seconds.
I know. How did we survive dial-up internet?
Can you imagine? I know. It's just getting worse.
I know.
So some people have to wait years. I think the woman with the issue of blood, she had been years.
Like 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time to be suffering with something.
Oh, man. Ugh. So we're not really great at wait.
No.
We're
Which
not.
Might be why he gently uses that to train
might
us.
Might be. Might be. Right.
See
and
God.
That certainly builds our faith when we follow him anyways. So, okay. So that's what we learned.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite verse was verse 8. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you.
Mm.
And that instructed me too. I want to hear of his unfailing love each morning. That means the only way I'm going to do that is my Selah Bible time in the morning, because I'm trusting in him. And if I, opening the Bible depressed when nothing jumps off the page mm-hmm. is actually a choice to trust.
Right.
That even if it feels like nothing's happened and it's yeah. not meeting my needs,
right,
I trust it's doing something anyways.
Yeah.
Right?
That is a good.
Yeah. And that's what it is. I'm trusting you. So I'm going to do that every morning anyways. Mm-hmm. Show me where to walk because right now I'm lying down.
Right. In the grave.
Yes. And then for I give myself to you, the surrender of it.
Mm.
You know, the kind of like the servant part we talked at the end. There's even before that, we talking now about surrender. I give myself to you.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm yielding to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trusting you. I feel miserable, by the way. But I'm still trusting you.
That servant piece is so huge. I didn't see that before, but in both parts, you're right. It's that submission to him to trust him because he met David every morning and nothing changed right away.
Nothing.
Yeah. Right. That's a good reminder that it may not just perk up right away.
Right. Yes.
That's good.
How about you? What was your favorite verse?
I was waffling between 8 and 10, but then I chose 10. It says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing." So again, it's that action of teach me to do your will. I have to go to him, sit with him, and listen to what he wants for me, you know? For you are my God. The reminder that it's him that has the big plan and control, and I'm his, so I have to just sit and trust and wait for this to all work out. And this other part, he leads me, may your gracious spirit, so that grace, lead me forward on firm footing. So I love that because with all of the things that have been happening in my life with my neurological issues, I do not always have firm footing. Mm. So that verse kind of struck a chord, like cuts got me. If I physically cannot have firm footing and control where my feet are going, God's got me. His gracious, kind spirit, that gentle leading, he'll lead me. If I don't know what the next step is and my world seems wobbly and all a mess, he's my firm footing.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I that just, it. Oh, that I needed that so much. Yeah. It was such a beautiful verse.
Now I'm singing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Yes.
All other ground is sinking sand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He is the only firm place.
He's the only thing. Yeah. When everything feels awful, he's our one place we can land.
And it's ironic because we both have neurological issues. And with Meniere's disease, when I have a seizure, an episode, it feels like I am in a hurricane at sea there's everything is up and down and up and down and spinning.
That sounds like a bad carnival ride.
It's really awful. And I never go on those rides.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you people do this on purpose? But if I can find a focal point on the wall, you know, and try to stare at it, it settles faster.
Right.
And I remember, you know, that God at least is steady, even if literally nothing in my world is steady at the moment. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
So we both have a affinity for this.
Practical application.
Yeah. So, okay. Third question. What did you learn about God from this passage?
He's so gentle with us and he's so tender. And there's always hope. I think when we feel hopeless, when we sit with him, he didn't have an immediate answer from God. But as he told him how he was losing hope and feeling like he was dying and paralyzed with fear and lying in the grave, at the end, he does find hope. Your unfailing love each morning, your gracious spirit. He's remembering, even if he's not consciously aware of it, God is just gently working in his heart.
Yes.
And reminding him and giving him hope. So I think that's so beautiful. There's always hope. And that he never stops loving us, even when we're depressed and complaining and feeling like lumps. He still loves us just as much as when we feel joyful and perky and happy.
Yeah. Isn't that? Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
No wonder he's the best.
He is the best.
I learned that he's familiar with depressed people.
Oh,
right?
Right.
I mean, David was depressed back then, I'm sure, all through history. In fact, almost every human being at some point or another feels that heavy, right? So I love that. And then because he allowed this psalm from the man after his own heart, David, he didn't just show David in a beautiful life, but God wanted this in the Bible. He's teaching me how to come to him in it.
Mm.
I mean, God literally has gifted me with Psalm 143 now, if I go through a time of depression, or if somebody else does, of what to pray when I don't have words.
Isn't that neat?
At all.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
So good. Aww. So good. Well, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you understand depression. I thank you that even though sometimes we wait way longer than we want to, you do answer and you work through even the hard to build us more into the people that will bring you glory and will be the best we can be. We love you, Lord. And if someone listening is depressed today, oh, Father, be tender with them, please, and lead them out of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you had seasons in your life when depression had a grip on you? Are you perhaps struggling with it now? We would be so willing to pray for you if that's the case. We always love to hear from you. You can find us at sweetsela.org/podcast, or you can email us at sharon@sweetsela.org. Join our podcast family by donating and becoming a podcast partner by going to sweetsela.org/donations. Hearing from our listeners or reading a review makes our day. Please consider helping us out. In any case, we hope you'll be back next time for episode 152, Even If. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Sela Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Sela Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetsela.org. Thank you for joining us.